All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and for the first time in what I hope will be a weekly thing that takes us all the way until February of 2019, the Free Stretch is coming to you in season, ladies and gentlemen, because that is what I consider it to be now that your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in training camp. From the top to the bottom of the roster, every single person all ready to go. The first practice took place on Thursday, and as I record this podcast, it is Thursday evening. And what a day it was, to be honest with you. More newsworthy, probably not for the best reasons, but more newsworthy than most first days of training camp would normally be. And we got a ton to get to on the show today. So first of all, thank you for joining us. As always, I love hearing from you guys. If you want to get a hold of me directly, it's very easy to do. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. Twitter at BobbyGameDay. And so what I want to talk about today, is obviously a lot going on, but what did we see in the first day of training camp that tells us anything, and what can we look forward to throughout the rest of camp? Of course, we don't have any actual football games yet. That'll come next week. Actually, it's a week after that. Next week, we get the Hall of Fame game, which I'm fired up about in its own right, but that's always just because it's the ceremonial first football game, and I don't care, you know, people are going to rip the preseason. We'll talk about the preseason at length once we get into it, and I know everybody loves to make fun of it and everything, but after a long, cold, dark, lonely offseason, when you've got actual football being played by men in uniforms with the field painted and everything and referees and all that, that's good enough for me right now. But as for today, the whole thing, of course, and it's been talked about on the other podcasts. I was listening because I listened to all the podcasts here on Joe Bucks Fan. They're all fantastic. Listening to Ira with the Joes earlier this week. Then Ira had another one today. You know, the big thing was Jameis Winston and pretty much getting it, quote, out of the way. Because until he spoke, and it's still going to be an issue, but until he spoke, there was really just no oxygen going to be left in the room. Everything was going to be sucked out of the room by that story. So the Bucs arrived at camp on Wednesday, and there was a lot of speculation then. And, of course, Jameis did not talk then. They did send out some veteran guys. You had Lavonte David speak, Ali Marpet, Mike Evans. Of course, every single one of them got asked about it. And for the most part, they all said the right things. And I know everybody's really analytical of everything everybody says these days. But the thing that strikes me about this whole Jameis Winston story so far, and I'm not going to do the whole show on Jameis, don't worry, but it's how many obvious things that still, the process still has to be gone through, and everybody has to question it and this and that. And listen, people need to understand, there's obvious things here that don't necessarily get said out loud, and yet, they're going to be said. And what I mean by that is, for example, whether it's Greg Allman's Twitter feed, which I still see people tweeting at him, oh, Greg, hey, I noticed the murals at the stadium didn't have Jameis Winston on there. What does that even mean? How could he, if he's the quarterback, and the Bucs are supposedly so behind him, how could they not have him on one of the murals? I think there might be something going on. You think there's something? Of course. It's like people haven't been able to grasp the idea that there's a middle ground between unquestioned starter, team leader, franchise quarterback, and face of the franchise. There's that. And then there's persona non grata, whose name is Mud, who's barely hanging on with the franchise. There's that side too. And people don't seem to understand that you can exist in a space somewhere between that. I mean, I actually saw, and I don't care at all about the murals on the side of the stadium. I actually drove by the stadium today and saw them, and, you know, they're hideous and overdone as usual with the dumb slogans. I think we got Wreak Havoc this year, and there's a couple other ones, Hoist the Sails. I don't know what the hell it is, but it doesn't matter. The point is, you know, I drove by there, I noticed, yeah, it wasn't Jameis, and there's promotional videos and stuff that have been released on the Bucs Twitter feed and all that, and those don't have Jameis in them either. Now, to me, this is obvious. I mean, he just went through a sexual assault investigation. He was subsequently suspended for 3 games. You know, it makes sense that, hey, maybe you wouldn't necessarily hype him up on the side of the stadium and things like that. But again, some people take that to mean, well, if he's not on the side of the stadium, the Bucks must be out on him. And then today, Dirk Cutter, when he spoke, and you know, the media hasn't had a chance to talk to Dirk Cutter since this whole thing happened, because Dirk Cutter, you know, he hasn't been available to the media since pre-suspension, all that stuff. So today, he gets up there, and they all want to talk to him. And there were some telling things that Dirk Cutter said. It wasn't all just coach speak. But Dirk Cutter, first of all, said that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the unquestioned guy for these first 3 games. You know, people had asked, oh, what about Ryan Griffin? Is there a competition going on? Now, Ryan Griffin has never taken an NFL snap. But, you know, people thought, hey, you know, Fitzpatrick, we know what we've got there. Maybe Griffin can make some noise in camp. Maybe there's a competition. No. Dirk Cutter flat out said Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy. He said, I don't foresee anything that could cause it to be Ryan Griffin. You never know, of course, and you never want to speak in absolutes as a coach. So I get that. So that was something that was at least a little bit noteworthy. Not that I thought it would be anybody but Fitzpatrick, but to hear Cutter say that right out of the gate on the first day was a pretty staunch endorsement of Fitzpatrick. And number two, and again, this is something that they're going to say it. It's not a big deal that they said it, but they have to. We got to do the dance here, folks. We can't say obvious things. You know, Jameis Winston's not going to get on the podium and say, yes, I grabbed her crotch. Yes, I did. He's not going to do that, okay? And Dirk Cutter's not going to say, yes, Jameis Winston's our starter week 4. Yes, that is it. That's not going to happen either. So Dirk Cutter said, when asked about week 4, hey, is Jameis Winston going to be the quarterback in week 4? Dirk Cutter said, well, you know, we'll worry about week 4 when it's week 4. Right now, I'm worried about the preseason. Exact answer any coach would give. Exact answer I would have given if I was the head coach of the Bucks in this situation. Totally normal. But people jump, oh my God, you know, it's not even necessary that Jameis is going to be the quarterback in week 4. And Pro Football Talk even had an article, oh, Cutter doesn't back Jameis as strongly as you. Again, this is all a dance. This all has to be done this way. And I don't understand why people don't get that. Of course he's not going to be on the side of the stadium on murals. Of course he's not going to be hyped up in team promotional materials. Of course Dirk Cutter's not going to immediately on the first day say, oh, yep, he's back in week 4. Hell, if anything, to motivate Jameis and to keep him on a leash and let him know that, hey, you ain't all that. You got to work for all this. I mean, I don't know if that's Dirk Cutter's strategy, but that for that reason alone, I probably would publicly declare everything to be up in the air at all times. So again, I completely get that. And I still maintain, you know, I had somebody tweet at me, you know, before I do the show, I always post, hey, here's, I'm doing the show. If you have any questions or comments or anything you want to ask me for the show, let me know. And I had a question from Leonard, who's a longtime listener. I love you, Leonard. And he said, Bobby, when will the Bucks cut ties to Winston? That was his question for the week. And I said, when they no longer feel he has the potential to help them win football games, divisions, and or championships. Which obviously is not right now. He still has that potential. And all that matters, and this is a refrain I'm going to keep pounding and pounding and pounding throughout the preseason, throughout the suspension, and throughout when he comes back. Those 13 games, because I believe he will be the starter week 4, those 13 games are what matters. As far as the arc of Jameis Winston's career, whether it's in the NFL or specifically with the Bucks. And I talked about this same point when I do a show for Lightning Power Play, which is the Lightning Radio Network station. I had a ton of fun doing that this past season. But I remember one of the things I kept saying during the regular season when the Lightning were chasing a division championship and trying to get that number 1 overall seed in the Eastern Conference, and we wanted them to get it, obviously, but what I kept saying over and over and over is, you won't remember any of this. I said, think back to the 2004 Stanley Cup season, all the memories we have. Aren't 95% of your memories from that season from the playoffs? Yeah, I mean, you don't remember anything about the regular season in hockey, you know, even if it's a great season. I said, all this stuff we're talking about now, you won't remember it. Now, in the NFL, you do remember the regular season because there's only 16 games and you only play 19 or 20 games total, even if you win it all. But as far as Jameis Winston goes, all this stuff about training camp, what he said on the podium today, how he sounded, did he sound sincere, was it rehearsed, on and on and on. Folks, you won't remember any of that, okay? All this stuff we're talking about right now will be just completely and utterly out of your memory within a few weeks. And when the rubber actually hits the road, both in week one with Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starter and in week four or whatever it ends up being with Jameis Winston, although I think it'll be week four, just like no big deal, 3-game suspension, then you start. Okay? Once that gets going, those 16 games, those 13 games for Jameis, that is all that will matter to anybody as far as the franchise is concerned, as far as Dirk Cutter and the coaching staff is concerned, and as far as Jameis Winston is concerned. So we can parse and analyze and speculate and everything else today. And that's what we're going to do because it's training camp. It's the first day and we only have one day to go on. But, you know, I really just, I read Twitter. I read articles. All the people that cover the Bucks. All the people that comment on the people that cover the Bucks. All that stuff. And it's amazing to me like how big of a deal people will make things that just aren't a big deal and just aren't unexpected. It's not unexpected that Jameis is not going to be on the stadium or that Jameis is not going to be in promotional video. It's not unexpected for Cutter to kind of play it slow. And Jameis' thing today, he finally spoke. If he hadn't spoke, it'd be one thing. But he got up there on the podium. It was, if you missed it, and you can go on Joe Bucks Fan and get all the audio. If you just go on Joe's Twitter feed or on the website itself, it's all up there. And it was awkward. I mean, it was just an uncomfortable thing. It felt rehearsed. It felt kind of forced. And again, I understand that because Jameis is basically up there facing the media for the first time since this all happened. He's not going to want to answer direct questions about that night. He's not going to say, yes, I grabbed her crotch. You know, he's not going to do that. And yet the media, including our own Joe Steve, was up there, you know, and then you had Rick Stroud, to his credit, asked the real point-blank question that everybody kind of wanted to know because Jameis got up there, and Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, who's been around the Bucks for as long as anyone around here, really, besides Ira, Stroud said, listen, you've admitted since the league came out with its report that some things kind of happened there, and you said before all that that you didn't have any involvement in any of this and that it wasn't what it seemed to be. And Stroud said, are you saying you're being more truthful now, or did your memory get a little better? I thought did your memory get a little better was a funny line. And, you know, he had to be asking that. I mean, somebody in the media, and I know Ira had talked about it on his podcast with the Joes earlier this week, said, hey, when we get in that room, you know, someone's going to have to ask Jameis, hey, you said this before, now you're saying this now. What is it? And it was Rick Stroud who asked that question. And predictably, Jameis didn't say, oh, no, I was lying before, now I'm telling the truth. He said, well, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that night, blah, 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 but I made a mistake. You know, again, the exact same thing, not that I would be in Jameis's position, but if I were in Jameis's position, the exact same thing I would have said. And so, again, awkward, weird, uncomfortable, yes, but it had to be done. And now that it's done, it's not going to be a thing every single day in camp and on and on and on. As far as on the field, which I know is what everybody wants to talk about and get to, Fitzpatrick took the reps with the ones. Ryan Griffin took the reps with the twos. Jameis took the reps with the ones, twos, and threes. Everybody just kind of mixed him in. And, you know, this is the type of thing that happens when you have a suspension like this. You have to now serve more than one master. You've got to have your starting quarterback, who is Ryan Fitzpatrick, be ready for the season. But you can't just shut Jameis out of the reps because he's still your, quote-unquote, you know, season starting quarterback. So his development gets stunted because he's not going to get the reps he needs to get ready for the year, entering year four, huge year in his career, for more reasons than one. And then you've got, you know, so now he's only getting a few reps, but now he's taking reps away from Fitzpatrick, who's not getting full number one either. And you're just kind of splitting things. It's just, you know, it's really unfortunate this whole freaking thing happened, basically. But it did. Now, on the field, and we'll talk more about it as we get closer to the regular season, I'm not terribly worried about it. I still don't get why people always assume, and again, it goes back to people assuming they know how things are supposed to go. And again, haven't we been around long enough to know things never go the way you think they're going to go? People are already penciling in wins and losses. Oh, well, we can't beat the Eagles with Fitzpatrick. The Saints, I don't know. The Steelers. You know, we have no idea how good those teams are going to be. Just because they were one thing last year doesn't mean they'll be another thing this year. We have no idea. And that same thing goes for the Bucks. I mean, we just because the Bucks were one thing last year, we don't know how they're going to be this year either. We think they're going to be a heck of a lot better. I think the Bucks can go 2-1 with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not saying they will. They could go 1-2. They could go 3-0 or 0-3. I mean, any of those four records are possible. But again, people just want to pencil things. Okay, we're going to start out 0-3. Now let's look at the numbers for teams that have been 0-3 and gone to the playoff. Don't look at that stuff yet. And don't assume because the Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions that they're going to be the Super Bowl champions again. Remember the Bucks win the Super Bowl, and then the next year they were, 7-9 or something like that? Same thing with the Saints. Oh, man, the Saints, week one up in the Dome. I don't know if the Bucks can do this. You know, I have no idea how good the Saints will or won't be. I have no idea how good the Steelers will or won't be, and I have no idea how the Eagles will or won't be. And I have no idea how good Ryan Fitzpatrick will or won't be. He was decent enough last year, and not that the Bucks won because of him, the games that he won. I mean, the offense wasn't exactly pretty in those games, but the point is you can win games lots of ways. And that goes to the point, again, on the field, the defense. Looking at that front four today, and we knew, you know, we know the whole thing with the defense, all the personnel changes, but actually seeing it on the field. JPP on one end, Vinny Curry on the other end, Bo Allen and Gerald McCoy in the middle. So you got, from that whole fiasco last year, up front, you only have one guy on the field now that was there then, and that's your actual good player from that group, Gerald McCoy. He's got three fresh bodies around him now in Curry and JPP and Bo Allen. Noah Spence is also back in the mix. He wasn't on the field with the ones or the twos today. They were running their base defense, though, in pass rush situations. He will be out there. You look at the corners, Brent Grimes on one end. Vernon Hargraves was with the number ones today on the other end, by the way. But you still have Carlton Davis. You still have Ryan Smith. You still have MJ Stewart. And then at safety, Justin Evans, Chris Conte. Those are the same guys. Adarius Taylor, formerly Adarius Glanton. Of course, Kwan and Levante David at linebacker. But that front four, things are a little bit different now. And in the NFL, you can if you have a pass rush, and we still don't know what the pass rush is going to look like when it's actual real live ammo out there. But if you have a pass rush, you can win a game. Even if your offense goes in the tank, you can win a game with a pass rush. And I'm not saying you can do it all season, but the Bucs don't have to do it all season. So these are all things that we have yet to figure out. We've got a whole training camp. And again, if you're a Joe Bucs fan reader, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. But if you're a Joe Bucs fan, reader, listener, all that stuff, then you know how this all goes. Every single day, you're going to get tons of updates from the Joes and Ira and the commish. Every single day, you're going to get stuff on Twitter. And I know you all probably follow everybody. I do, too. You know, whether it's Greg Allman or Rick Stroud or even the other blog. I mean, just Bucs, Bucs, Bucs all the time. It's like you're there. It really is amazing because I remember growing up as a kid, going over to the University of Tampa, and y'all old schoolers know what I'm talking about if you've been around a while and you've been a Bucs fan for a while. Member training camp over at UT. And I used to love UT. I still love UT. I think it was a great place for training camp. Of course, the Bucs didn't have a facility like they have now, so you want to keep everything right there in-house. But when the Bucs were at the University of Tampa over at Pepinrud Stadium, you'd go over there. The skyline was in the background, beautiful view. It was real casual, laid back. You'd sit in the seats. You know, it wasn't a big presentation like it is now. They didn't have the cheerleaders there handing stuff out or throwing mini footballs and beads into the crowd and all that. It was just, hey, here's practice. Show up if you want to. But I remember back then, like, going to practice, and there might be some printed out rosters in a stack on, like, some folding picnic table set out by the field on the way in when you'd walk into the stadium. And that was your first introduction to the team. That was all you knew. I mean, we had the newspapers back then, but there was no Twitter, no internet. Now, like, you don't even have to be in Tampa, and you can literally feel like you are watching every single rep at practice. Joe posts videos of all kinds of plays at practice. You can see everything, depth charts, on and on and on. All the information is there. And it's really a great time to be a sports fan in general, but especially with things like training camp. You know, there's 90-something guys. I used to feel like, oh, my God, I barely even know who most of these people are. You know, now all the off-season coverage, I mean, we get everything just mapped out, charted out. It's all there. It's fun. It really is fun. And it's going to be a fun training camp. On the offensive side of the ball, just to get you, again, people that were on the field, on the offensive line, No big surprises, but you had Donovan Smith from left to right. Donovan Smith on the O-line, Ali Marpet, Ryan Jensen, of course, at center. Caleb Benenox there at right guard, and on the right tackle side, Damar Dotson, with Fitz, of course, number one. Peyton Barber still taking number one running back reps. And then you had Ronald Jones, the USC draft pick, in the two spot there. Of course, the wideouts, we all know all about that. So, some things you should know as we move forward. First of all, the training camp takeover for the stick carriers and anybody else that wants to be a part of it. It's August 4th. It's next Saturday. Now, obviously things are different this year with the way they're doing training camp. And you have to have a ticket. Not that you have to pay for it, but you have to acquire a ticket, which you get on the website, or the whole rigmarole you have to go through. And supposedly, for August 4th, next Saturday, as you might imagine, with the commish rallying the troops the way he does, he's so good at that, there was overwhelming demand, and there's just huge demand for these training camp tickets for Saturday, August 4th. So they've been scarfed up. Do not be discouraged. This is what we want to get the message out for the training camp takeover next Saturday, because people are going to say, oh, I tried. I couldn't get to ticket. Look, they have tickets. The stick carriers, a bunch of them, are the reason why these tickets were scarfed up so quickly, but they got multiples. There was groups of three, four guys that got three, four tickets, then got three, four more, and they're going to be handing them out in the morning. So if you just want to show up on August 4th, they should be able to get you in. And you'll hear this from everybody else all throughout the week on Joe Bucks Fan if you listen to the other podcasts and things like that. But there's going to be plenty going on there. So there's that. Then, this is the bit, if you really want to go nuts, and I'm tempted. I haven't worked out my travel schedule yet. But if you go to fanretreat.com, of course, Joe Bucks Fan does a roadie every year. This year, it's New Orleans, okay? It's the opener. And you can get a grab, I think under $400, they were saying, you can get a deal here for this trip. And if you go to fanretreat.com, it's all on there. But the commission will be there. The Joes will be up there. Ira, you can party with everybody. I'm tempted. I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I'm also looking at a road trip for the Gators in Starkville. I'm trying to figure out my travel schedule. Folks, you don't understand how excited I am, okay? For football season, it's so much more than just, hey, I like football. I'm going to watch some football on TV. It's a state of mind. My life improves. My quality of life improves just for it being football season. And I've often wondered if maybe I don't have enough of a life. Maybe am I pathetic that it being the season of a particular sport actually makes a difference in my life or not? Maybe there's something wrong with me. Every year this thought occurs to me because I get so much happier right about now, but especially in the next few weeks once games start happening. And it's just amazing the difference. It's like two different, like New Year's. Like there's New Year's when the Super Bowl ends, which is the end of all football, which I'm always sad. And then there's New Year's now. And it's not just, hey, cool, it's, again, football on TV. It's, hey, what road trips are we taking this year? Whether it's the Bucks or whether it's the Gators. I'm a huge, you know, I'm a University of Florida graduate. Where are we going to go? Hey, are we going to Gainesville for this game? What Bucks home games? Are we going to all the home games? Some of the home games? Are we going to tailgate? Hey, who's coming over for this road game? Hey, the Monday night game. What are we doing for that? I mean, you don't understand how much happiness it brings me. Making the refrigerator schedules, which, by the way, this year, completely free of charge, okay? Here's what I'm willing to do for you guys. I don't just do the little cut the schedule out of the newspaper thing and stick it on the fridge. I used to do that. And I've got a soft spot in my heart for doing that. No, no, no. I need a big 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, team logo, color print, okay? The Bucks logos, the little tiny logo of every team we play next to the name. I do a whole thing. It's one of my ceremonial things I do every August is I type up my fridge schedules for the Bucks and for the Gators, and I stick them on the side of my refrigerator. If you would like one this year, it's very easy. I can just email you the Word. I just do it on Microsoft Word. I can email you the file, and then you'll have it, and you can print it out at your house if you have a color printer, or you can go to your local UPS store or Kinko's or whatever they call it now and do it there. And folks, listen, I'm not going to charge you. It's no skin off my hide. It's an email. Email me if you want one. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. If you want one, I will send you one after I haven't made it yet. And I think once you do this, I think you'll be like, hey, this is pretty cool. I think I'm going to do this from now on. You won't be able to go back. You'll have to have it. So anyway, with all these things said, it's training camp. We're underway. I want each and every one of you to know how much I love you guys. Even the ones that don't like the show or like the show or critical. Hey, just thank you for listening, whatever it is. We're going to be here all August long for training camp and all the preseason games, and we're just getting going. And like I said, this is the first of what I hope are many, many shows that are done in season with actual Buccaneer football things on football fields to talk about. If you want to email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, Twitter @BobbyGameDay. I'm Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch, first of the season, training camp edition, here on JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to the Joes for having me on as well. I appreciate them as always. I'll be back with y'all next week, and we'll be getting ready then for an actual football game. But in the meantime, enjoy the practices, enjoy everything on the website. Be safe this weekend, and wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks!